What I love about languages is that it unlocks a different part within me. I start to speak Portuguese. It's a different Amanda that's coming out. It's a super chatty Amanda, super light, super happy, super like engaging with everyone, asking so many questions. It's a very happy, positive vibe. Hello, welcome back to another episode of This Expat Life. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that is not a typical topic for this podcast, but one that does show up for many of you, and myself included. And that is how to overcome language obstacles. And I received this question from a listener of the show, Michael, and I believe he resides in North Carolina, who sent me a DM on Instagram and asked me, can you share something around overcoming these language obstacles? And initially I thought, this is not really my expertise. You know, I don't coach people on languages, but I do have experience with it because my native language is Dutch. Obviously, I'm from the Netherlands. I also speak English, but I also learned Spanish and Portuguese when I was living there. And I speak them pretty well, and I learned them pretty quickly, I have to say, although they are a bit rusty now. But I have found my ways of learning languages. And I was thinking originally, I'll answer this question on another episode as like a side question. But then I thought, actually, I do have quite a few tips to share. So I'm going to share them with you in this episode, because if you are someone who's living abroad already, but you really struggle making that language your own, you can feel like an outsider, you know, like there is this barrier between you and the local community, or between you and really feeling like you belong there, like you're local. Or maybe you're not yet moving abroad, but you're thinking about it, and learning the language is something that really scares you, because maybe you didn't, you know, have a great success rate at that at high school, or you're just really like, that's the main obstacle for you to make that decision and actually move abroad with confidence. So, you know, it is a really important topic for so many of us, because language really, you know, language shapes our world, and it determines our days and how we communicate, how we express ourselves. And so if you're not able to fully do that in the other language, it can become this block. It can stop you from being yourself in these foreign situations. It can make you feel very frustrated because you can't fully express yourself with all the nuances you want to talk about, or the nuanced feelings that you want to express. It can also prevent you from, like I said, from really becoming part of the community, because maybe not everyone speaks English, or they refuse to really accept you as a local someone, local partner, if you don't speak their language. So let's just dive into this topic for today. And I'm just going to share what worked for me. This is not based on any science or things that I know that I research. It's purely based on my personal experience. But I know that often we get a lot of good tips precisely from those personal things. So hopefully there's something there for you. And if you have any other tip while you're listening to this, please do not hesitate and let me know. I think you can comment on Spotify, because the more tips we can gather, I think the more people will be helped in our community. If you're watching this on YouTube, my cat Fenton is like showing his beautiful face and tail here. So let's dive into it. The most important thing, and this is how I work with everyone for any problem that they come to me with, the inside-out approach. So you're looking now at the language of, that's my obstacle to where I want to go, or to how I want to feel, or what I want to do. And I need to overcome that obstacle. And the obstacle is getting bigger and bigger in my head, maybe. And it's very easy to then be like, okay, I just need to sign up for a course. I just need to try harder. I just need to make this work. I just need to practice more often. I just need to find the courage to talk more. It's very easy for you to go straight into the doing of what you need to do to overcome that obstacle. But what I always talk about and really advise for everyone I work with is, you want to have the inside out approach. So you want to start on the inside first. And I think it's really important that you look, what kind of beliefs do I have about this language, about the fact that I'm not speaking this language, about me learning languages? What do I subconsciously believe about myself, this language, and this community in relation to the language? Our beliefs show up for everything. We have beliefs about relationships, about ourselves in relationships, about other people, about our own worth, about our own capabilities. We have beliefs about everything. Our beliefs are really our filter through which we look at life at. So it's our lens. And we find in our external world, we find evidence of the filter that we're using so that we can subconsciously see, oh, this is true. This is what I believe. So you see that reflected in your outer world because you're subconsciously trained to find that then, to find evidence for it, for what you believe. So if you believe about yourself, I will never learn this language. This language is really hard. I will never belong here if I don't learn the language, etc. You will find evidence of that in your day-to-day life. And so every time when you stumble over your words, when someone is, well, this is what you perceive, maybe a reaction from someone that is like grumpy in the store for not speaking their language, you will find evidence of your beliefs in your external context. So maybe that person is grumpy because, I don't know, they just had a really bad day, but then you take it on as they're not happy with me, or they don't appreciate me because I don't speak their language, and so they take it out on me. I'm using real examples from people that I know, by the way. So you'll always find evidence in your external world of what you're believing on the inside. And if you really want to set yourself up for success, whether that's language success or something else, you want to work on your beliefs first. You want to have this inside-out approach. So you really want to start believing in that you're capable and that this language is easy for you to learn, in that you can totally succeed, and in that you will be part of the local community, regardless of whether you speak the language or not. So if you're listening to this episode and you struggle with the language, start here and start assessing for yourself, what do I actually believe about me learning this language, about the language itself, and about the function or the role of this language in how I want to feel and how I am here in this country. So for me, it is, without sounding arrogant, I hope, but I've always been really good at languages. I didn't know that when I was at high school because I didn't bother to really do my homework and to prepare for my exams. So I always passed, but never with really good grades. And I never realized I was actually good at languages. And when I started learning Spanish, I realized that I really love grammar. I'm good at grammar. It's very easy for me to understand how a language works, like the system of a language. I'm not good at memorizing words and to just chat with people from, you know, as a beginner. But understanding the structure of the language, I'm pretty good at that. And so as a result, I know this about myself now. And as a result, when I think about learning a new language, I think of it as something fun. I think of it as something, oh, that's cool. That's something I can totally do if I just put some time in. You know, I need to put some effort in, but I'll totally ace this. And that is because my beliefs about myself learning languages are really empowering and positive. So because of those beliefs and because I found evidence of that in the past, I am looking at the future languages also from this really positive place. I don't see it as an obstacle. I see it as something that enriches me. So if you are really, you know, making this language an obstacle and you're fearing it, or there's a lot of resistance, for example, around it, start with your beliefs. A lot of people that I know in the Netherlands, and they don't want to learn Dutch. I'm just going to be direct. They don't want to put the effort in. Some have done it. Like, I'm not like, okay, I know this is a difficult topic, so let me try to be a little bit less direct. But I know the Dutch are very difficult when it comes to you practicing Dutch. Because the moment we hear you're from abroad, we switch to English right away. I had au pairs when I was younger. They came from Hungary. And some of them really wanted to learn Dutch, and they took courses, of course, we provided that for them. And they always wanted to practice in stores and everything, but everyone just always switched to English. And they were so frustrated about it because they thought, I don't get the opportunity to practice. And I know that's very true. So in the Netherlands, so I definitely don't want to deny that. But a lot of people have, you know, tried it a little bit, But then it's just easier to stick to the English because everyone else, you know, switches to English the moment that they hear you're a foreigner. And so it's just easier. But, and I totally get that. But I also hear a lot from people, well, I already speak five languages anyway. I'm not sure if I'm going to be here. It's too difficult. No one wants to practice with me. La, 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 la. They're all valid reasons, but they're also your beliefs. So they are also really what you want to believe subconsciously about this language or about what it could mean to you. And you can build up a lot of resistance if you keep believing in those beliefs. So instead of thinking, well, you know, I've already tried and it's not working out for me and I already speak five languages, so I feel like I don't need to make more effort, then that language is going to remain an obstacle for you to really becoming part of the local communities if that's something that you desire. Now, I know this is like, you know, I know there's a lot more going on here because maybe you have tried and or people are giving you a really hard time for not learning the language and you're like, but I am trying, you know, like, so don't give me a hard time. I totally get that. Like sometimes how Dutch people respond to, you know, foreigners not learning the language, I don't agree with that. But just for yourself, if you take out the other person, the other country, the other culture out of the equation, can you just really assess for yourself what is your belief about this language? And if you have any resistance or fear, what is that based on what kind of beliefs? And can you start tweaking those beliefs? Because this will set you up, hopefully, for more success, but also for simply more fun. Because if your beliefs around the language are, this is hard, I'll never make this work, they don't want me here, etc., etc., yeah, it's not going to be fun to learn the language, right? You're not going to go to a course all excited. It feels more like, well, I guess I have to do this. So change your beliefs. If you have beliefs around, I'm not good enough, I can never make this work, I will never be able to learn this language, start prepping yourself, you know, like to become this really empowered version who's totally able to ace learning languages. You can start thinking things like, I get better at this language every day. I totally trust I have the capabilities to learn this language. I can't wait to become so fluent in this language that I can fully express myself. You get that there's a whole different energy around these thoughts compared to what I shared earlier. So start here from the inside out. Be honest with yourself. What do I subconsciously believe about the language, about the culture, about me and my capabilities? And how can I change that? Now, you don't have to believe it yet, but you can start training yourself to think those things every time that you are triggered around the language, when fear or resistance comes up. You're like, no, I am the person who can't wait to learn this language. Okay, cool. Let me check my notes again, because I can talk about beliefs for a full hour. Yeah, what has really worked for me as well is, actually, let me go to another point, which is a bit more connected to the beliefs. Something that has been working for me is that I really approach languages from this place of curiosity. So, and it helps knowing that I'm pretty good at learning languages. So it's not like, you know, if you ask me to do math or anything, like, I'm out, or biology or whatever. This, if language was something like that, I would be like, oh, fuck no, there's no way I can do this. But languages as they are, yeah, I can do that. So because I have this empowered belief around this, I'm also approaching it with a lot more curiosity. So my curiosity for me shows up as sometimes I see certain ways of how they are phrased, and I'm like, hey, is this like a grammar rule, or is this an exception to the rule, or is this slang? You know, there are a lot of grammar rules in Spanish that are similar to those in Portuguese, but I found Portuguese a bit more difficult because it has more exceptions. And so my brain naturally is like comparing those two, like, oh, this is how it's done in Spanish, but it's different in Portuguese in how I'm seeing this now in a phrase somewhere in a newspaper. So why is that? Like, I'm curious. I want to know why. Now, I'm a grammar nerd, so my curiosity is mostly about the grammar, but I also love learning slang and where it's coming from. So, or sayings, you know, expressions. So whenever I hear something or read something that I don't know, or that, you know, it just sparks a curiosity inside of me. And I want to know more about it. So I will figure that out. And I really believe that that curiosity is also helping me to learn the language. Again, because I'm not coming from this place of resistance and fear, but really of like, I wonder why. So if you don't have this natural curiosity, can you fake yourself into it? And can you just start saying to yourself whenever you are presented with a grammar challenge or words that you don't understand, can you start saying to yourself, I wonder why, I wonder how, XYZ. I wonder why they say it this thing. Not like, I don't understand why they're saying it this way, but just like, I wonder why they're saying it like this. And you can apply it to yourself as well. If you are talking to someone and you find it really hard to keep up with their speed or to really say, you know, with how you what you want to say with all the nuances, instead of thinking, I will never be able to understand them, can you start saying things like, I wonder why? No, I wonder what I need in order to understand them fully. I wonder what I could do to express myself in a more nuanced way. So curiosity really, really works here, I believe. Then to another thing that worked really well. Okay, there's one for the singles and one for the non-singles. So I'll start with the latter. And that is simply hang out with the locals. Now, I was very lucky in a way that I learned Spanish and Portuguese in Latin America. Not everyone speaks English there. In Spanish America more than in Brazil. Like I really felt in Brazil, very few people spoke English. So when I moved to Brasilia as a diplomat, I was kind of forced to learn the language. And, you know, I enjoyed it, so there was no problem for me there. But, you know, I had a personal trainer that I couldn't communicate with in the beginning because he didn't speak a word of English. I had, you know, things needed to be fixed in the house, but also more senior level people, quite a few of them didn't speak English. And so I was I was really forced to like learn lots of like words, like specialist words around the topics that I was working on, around deforestation, agriculture, corporate social responsibility. So I learned a lot of words simply because I was forced to, but I was forced to because I was hanging out with them. Now, partially for work, so official meetings, but also in my free time, you know, I chose a local personal trainer. I really hung out with Brazilians. When I was traveling in Latin America, you know, the first time I went there, I was 19 and I traveled there for a year and a half. I wasn't traveling all the time. I also spent a lot of time in Argentina and Ecuador, and I decided to do some volunteering work. I took some other work. I had these little jobs here and there. And I really made sure that my friends weren't just all foreign travel bodies or a foreign local community. I had lots of Ecuadorian and Argentinian friends, and in Brazil as well. It's a really welcoming continent, so I'm really lucky because these people really welcome you in with open arms, and everyone always wants to be friends with everyone, and it's a very welcoming society, so it's very lucky. Now, I know it's very different in the Netherlands. The Dutch aren't as open and welcoming as the Latins. I'm generalizing, obviously, but I know for a lot of foreigners here in the Netherlands, it's super hard to hang out with the locals. And I'll tell you why. Even for me, when I moved back home after so many years abroad, it was hard for me to make local Dutch friends again. And I am from here. But it's because they have their friends from high school, university, and probably their first job. And then they're like settled for the rest of their lives. Again, not everyone. I'm also an exception to this rule, but a lot of them are like this. And so it's hard for foreigners to hang out with the Dutch because they're not really used to making new friends all the time after their first job. And it was hard for me too. So hopefully that provides some solace already. But if you can, hang out with the locals because the locals will force you to speak their language. And in the Netherlands, they don't force you. You really have to ask them to please speak in Dutch. But that is something that you can do. And it is not just about like making friends. This is also about interactions you have on the street, in a supermarket. You can do some volunteering. You know, read the local newspaper. I started doing things like that as well. I always read the newspaper in Buenos Aires. I obviously had newspapers in Brazil for work. But, you know, even when I was traveling, I love reading local newspapers. One, because of the language. But two, it gives me a great sense of what's going on in that community. So that is something that I do. So hang out locally to get more interaction with the language. Now, the tip for the singles is start dating locally. My Portuguese improved so much after my long distance relationship ended. I was seeing someone back in the Netherlands still, and I had one more year left in Brazil, and I was single, and I had two Brazilian boyfriends, I would say, for a couple months. And the first one didn't speak a word of English. And so, wow, I think I learned more in those couple of months than I did in the 2 years prior to that, maybe. Like, I really went to a different level because I was forced again to speak the language every day. But I also learned it in a way that I would never be able to learn from my amazing teacher. Because you talk about different things in a different way. It's this language that is a lot like more, it's a more intimate part of the language, right? Like, you call each other baby, you talk about things. There is a way more intimate atmosphere in that relation or in that interaction. And so you learn a way different part of the language with different kinds of like local ways of saying I love you or baby or whatever you want to say. And yeah, it really helped me. So not only like, okay, I got to practice it all the time, but I also really learned a different kind of part of the language, which I really loved. And my second boyfriend there, he spoke English, but his parents didn't. And this was during COVID. So I hung out a lot with them. And this really helped me as well to continue speaking Portuguese, even though there was a lockdown going on and I wasn't interacting with people for work anymore. So go date locally. It's also a great way to understand a culture from that point of view. Another one that I love to do to learn languages is I listen to a lot of music, local music, and because of my curiosity, I do this in any language, by the way, also in English, I look at the lyrics because I also always want to know what is this song really about, and because I get a certain feeling, but is that true with the lyrics? And so I started doing the same for Portuguese and Spanish. And thankfully, I always had amazing teachers who also put in a lot of music in our courses. But that also really helped me to understand a language much better. Because you hear a lot more slang. You find different ways of saying things. I remember driving in Brasilia one day and it was hot. So I opened the windows. I prefer that more than the air conditioning. And I was listening to some music really loud. And then there was one song that was like this from Funky, you know, if you know Brazilian music, you know this. The lyrics are like pretty dirty, pretty sexual, pretty direct. And I remember singing along to the extent that I could, because I wasn't fully understanding all the lyrics because it was a lot of slang. And I was just singing along and phonetically I could hear it. And so I was repeating that. And then at some point I thought, Amanda, you're driving around here already for 5 minutes with your car window open and you're like this blonde woman in a Latino country. What are you actually singing? And so I looked it up and it was all about like really the nastiest things sexually that you can do. So I was like, okay, this is good for me to know. I'd rather do this with the windows closed here. So it taught me a lot about like this slang that people use to talk about like, you know, day-to-day stuff. And so music really, really helps me to, again, understand the language, not only from a grammar point of view, but really from a cultural point of view. And because I listen to a lot of music and I sing along and I know the lyrics because I look them up, I also kind of repeat the language in my head. And this becomes such a good practice to really make the language more present in your day-to-day life. So that is what I still do all the time, because I don't want to lose my Spanish and Portuguese completely. So I still listen to a lot of music from there. I'm a huge reggaeton lover. Okay. I wrote something down that I don't quite fully understand. Oh yeah, I wrote down connecting to a different part. I'm like, what do I mean with that? But I know. What I love about languages is that it unlocks a different part within me. So at home in the Netherlands, you know, I have a resting bitch face for sure. If I don't smile, I look really angry and just like no one really wants to talk to me. And I keep quiet, like I'm an ambivert. I love talking to people, but you know, I also mind my own business and I'm really in my own bubble, like very much. And if I'm at the hairdressers, I prefer to not have small talk. And the moment I go to Brazil, and I start to speak Portuguese, it's a different Amanda that's coming out. It's a super chatty Amanda, super light, super happy, super like engaging with everyone, asking so many questions. It's a very happy, positive vibe. I'm laughing a lot more. I can already see it in my face as I'm looking at the screen while I'm recording this. The difference is there. And I was traveling with my two sisters to Rio almost two months ago. And I already warned them, like, the moment I start speaking Portuguese, like, you will see a different side of me. And they agreed that that happened. So we were in a cab going to a nail salon. And I was chatting to the Uber driver. And we were just chatting and chatting away. And yeah, they were like, we don't always see you like this with strangers. So that was really funny. So it brings out a different part of me that, and I would love to hear actually if you guys recognize this. So I'm all about like being your authentic self, and you have this authentic core and you bring yourself wherever you go. And so it's important to sort out your emotional luggage and to also really know who you are so that you can be at home wherever you go. But I also feel like outside of this authentic core, there's like this other layer that is super adaptable. And maybe this is just me. You know, I've traveled, I lived abroad so often. And also when I was younger, I lived with foster families in my teenage years. Families that I knew, by the way, so it sounds more serious than maybe it really was, but I was living with different families. And so I'm very adaptable to different contexts all the time. And so maybe it's just me, but I would love to hear this about from you as well. So whenever I now go to another country, I feel a different part of me coming out. So in Brazil, I wear more colorful clothes, for example, and I show my body more, you know, because it's more normal there. I'm chattier as well. It's different when I go to London, you know, then I feel the boss babe coming out again. It's a more like corporate feel that I get to it, like city vibes. When I'm in the US, in Sedona, like I feel this really, this grounding part of me, like the nature there, the space really does something to me. And I start to think so much bigger and I feel much more powerful. So yes, I have my authentic core, but like wherever I go, it brings out a different part of me as well. Like all of a sudden there's room for that part of me more than in other contexts. And I feel languages do the same for me as well. So when I speak Spanish, it's a different part of me than the Brazilian part, although I can't really pinpoint what it is, but it feels different. When I speak English and I speak with Americans, so when I'm traveling in the US and, you know, I'm more used to that there, it's this very like, very friendly, very positive kind of vibe that comes out of me. When I go to London, I feel it's a different kind of, it's the same language, but it's a different kind of vibe. Not only because I'm in London, but also with the way that they speak. And, you know, I lived there for a couple of years. So the accent still does something to me in the way that they say things and the words that they use. So I feel that it's not only the location, it's also the language that brings up a different part of me that really unlocks that. And I would love to hear if you have the same thing or if it's just me and my crazy brain. So that is what I love about languages. And again, this is also why it's easier for me to overcome these obstacles, because I'm excited about bringing out that part of me. Yeah, I'm not so fluent anymore in Portuguese, but when I now go to Brazil, or I'm going to Mexico later this year, right? I know I need a couple of days to really get back into the Spanish again, because the Spanish and Portuguese get mixed up all the time in my head. But I'm already so excited for that part that is just like, oh, chatting in Spanish. I can't wait. So it doesn't feel like an obstacle. It feels like something I can really get excited about, because I know it will unlock something inside of me. So if you have a language obstacle, either one that is coming because you haven't moved yet, or one that you are experiencing in the here and now, can you approach it with this sense of like, what does this language unlock for me? Besides the struggle and the fear that you might experience right now and the resistance, but like the positive parts, what is this language enabling for me? What do I feel, or what would I feel if I spoke this language fluently? And can you start connecting to that part of you more so that you get more excited about the language as well? Okay, and then my last tip, and this also has really been a game changer. So besides dating locally, I think this was my first, you know, you can grow incrementally step by step. And then there are things that really unlock a next level right away. this is not just with languages, it's for anything in life. I also see it in my business. You know, I grow incrementally, and then sometimes if you like something happens, or I get a shout out from someone, for example, for the podcast with a big following, right away I see the numbers increase of people following the podcast. It recently happened again, so I'm very happy that you're here. But you kind of want to have those big boosts in your growth as well, in life and in languages. And so the dating locally was one of those boosts for me. But the first boost, that this is how it really started, was Netflix and chill. I seriously learned the languages. Yeah, of course, I did courses. I love courses. I love the structure of going to class, you know, and really that I'm stepping inside a container of I'm learning a language here. This is also why I love getting coaches myself or going into group programs, because yeah, I can figure out a lot on my own, but the moment I sign up for something with a framework inside a container, I'm telling myself I'm here to learn this language. I'm here to tackle this issue. I'm here to grow. So it brings a certain atmosphere or a vibe with it. So yeah, I did all those courses and that helped me. But then what really helped me ingrain it in my brain, because it's hard for me to memorize words, what really helped me understand the grammar much better, and for me to really also understand certain slang and ways of like expressions and sayings, was to really watch Netflix. One of my favorite TV shows, I would watch it in English and I would have the subtitles in Spanish or Portuguese. Now, I'm from the Netherlands, so most of our stuff is subtitled anyway, unlike Germany or France or Spain, where everything is dubbed. I think that's the word, yeah. So I'm used to reading subtitles already, so it doesn't require extra effort for me. And because I'm watching a show that I really like in English, English is like my second language, it takes me almost no effort, that is very easy. I can just understand it. I don't need to read the subtitles to understand the TV show. So one part of my brain, and I have no idea if this is science, but this is how it feels to me. One part of my brain is listening and it's subconsciously understanding everything. And another part of me, of my brain, is reading the subtitles. And those two parts interact. So I hear the English and I understand it. And at the same time, I see how it's written. I see the grammar structure that they use. I see the expressions that they use. I see how it's spelled. I see the exceptions to the rules. I see the slang. And so I automatically make that translation in my head. And of course, sometimes it goes too fast and I don't fully understand it. Sometimes, you know, it's too much for me to read or to really, I wouldn't be able to repeat it afterwards right away, right? But the more you start listening and reading at the same time, the more your brain is already automatically learning that language while you're having fun because you're watching a really nice TV show. And it's not like you're sitting in class like, oh, I need to learn this language or this grammar. You are enjoying what you're doing. And at the same time, your brain is working for you and you are learning the language in a subconscious way. So when I was in Latin America as a 19-year-old, I learned Spanish just by watching, I think it was Grey's Anatomy at the time. And in Brazil, when I was in Brasilia, I was watching a lot of, I think it was Virgin River and Succession. And that really, really helped me to understand Portuguese, the way it's written, the feminine and the masculine things and how the verbs are conjugated and their ways of writing and also of expressing and the verbs and the exceptions to the rules, etc. And so that really helped me to lock that down. Portuguese has a lot of exceptions when it comes to the verbs, how you conjugate them. And I always forgot a few, and watching these shows really, really helped me to just ingrain it in my brain and memorize it. So if you are someone with that obstacle around the language, go have fun, watch Netflix and chill. But I'm not sure. I think my way is what works well, at least for me. Listening in your native language or one that you're super, super comfortable with, and then reading it in the other language. I am someone who needs to read things in order to memorize it and to understand it. And I know that not everyone learns the same way. You also have people who are more audio focused. I think there are a few more ways. So maybe the opposite works better for you, that you listen to it in the local language and you read the subtitles in English, I would just try it out both. For me, it works the opposite, it works better. So I read it in the new language. And yeah, this is something that you can just do in your free time. And, you know, learning a language doesn't need to be hard work. It can be fun too. It can be easy too. You can learn a language without putting so much effort in because your brain is subconsciously already doing the work while you're listening to music and watching Netflix, etc., or listening to the radio. So yeah, listening to the radio is not a good one because I drove a lot and I always listen to the radio. So that is something, you know, on my way to work, I was already subconsciously in that vibe of Portuguese, Portuguese, Portuguese. And even now, I have this app, it's called Radio Garden, and you can listen to radio stations from all over the world. I still pick radio stations from Latin America and also the US, but that's more a cultural thing, to listen to what is going on there, but also to stay in touch with the language a little bit more. So these are my tips. I would love to hear what your tips are so we can gather a bunch of tips together. And again, this is not something that I focus on in my work at all, but I, you know, it all shows up for us because language is how we express ourselves. And if you can't fully express yourself in the country that you're living in, you're going to have a harder time. Or if you aren't part of the community because of the lack of the language. So it is an important thing. And I would love it for you if you feel more comfortable about the language as well. Thank you, Michael, again for this question. I really enjoyed talking about this, actually. And if you're listening to this and you also have a question for me around expat life, personal growth, or just something else that you're curious about, let me know. Send me a DM on Instagram. You can find me at Amanda Maxime. Yeah, it's Amanda Maxime. And I will either talk about it in an episode or even dedicate a whole episode to it. All right. See you for the next episode. Bye-bye.